Well, g'day everyone. Welcome to The Journey this week, which is all about the resurrection, Easter Sunday. We've moved through this wonderful season of Lent. We've moved through the events and ceremonies of Holy Week, particularly those of us that are connected with sacramental churches such as mine, the Catholic Church. And we here on The Journey are proud to bring you some God spots this week, some inputs this week that really focus on the joy of Easter. And so with that in mind, we've got lots of good stuff to share with you. We've got a faith testimony from Stuart Wallace, who's recently become a Christian. We're going to talk to him about his journey in that regard. And there's lots of people in our church in particular who come into the church officially in that Easter season of joy, that resurrection of Easter Sunday, where they're drawn into the full membership of the church. So we're going to hear from Stuart Wallace about his journey in doing that. Going to hear from Darren McDowell too, part of the ongoing Lenten collection series and connection series. Darren's going to talk to us about the in-between time of this season between the death of Jesus on the cross and the joy of the resurrection, which is that real journey from darkness into light. Sitting with the darkness, sitting with the knowledge of the tomb, with the expectation of a new life. So we're going to hear from Darren in that regard. Darren's one of the many wonderful contributors to the journey. A seminarian these days, someone progressing towards priesthood. Great to have Father Chris Sarkis with us too. He's going to be talking to us about truth and that question from Pilate. What is truth? We heard that in journeying towards this day of joy only just a few days ago when Pontius Pilate said it to Jesus. What is truth? Mother Hilda Scott, Wisdom from the Abbey is her segment. She's going to talk to us about the hope of Easter. And to kick us off, wonderful to have the gospel reflection from Father Mark DiBattista. Is going to help us to grasp the immensity of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, everything that Jesus said and did is null and void, but with it, he is who he said he was. And we get to receive all that he promised, the promises of salvation, the promises of new life, the promises of eternal joy. So, on this wonderful Easter Sunday, let's hear the gospel proclaimed by Max Norden, John 20, 1-9, and then a reflection on that gospel to today, from Father Mark DiBattista, and how Easter calls us to share in the glorified divine life of Jesus. Let's get into that now. A bit of music in the mix too. You'll be hearing from Francesca La Rosa and Psalm 118, This is the Day. After the break, Mother Hilda Scott, faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. We better get into it. It's The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. It was very early on the first day of the week and still dark when Mary of Magdala came to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been moved away from the tomb and came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb," she said, "and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter set out with the other disciple to go to the tomb. They ran together, but the other disciple, running faster than Peter, reached the tomb first. He bent down and saw the linen cloths lying on the ground, but did not go in. Simon Peter, who was following, now came up, went right into the tomb, saw the linen cloths on the ground, and also saw the cloth that had been over his head. This was not with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and he believed. Till this moment they had failed to understand the teaching of Scripture, that he must rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now, the Gospel Reflection with Father Mark DiBattista.
The resurrection is the greatest event that ever took place in the world history. It is truly a Copernican revolution where the people of the world realized that in fact the sun was the center of the solar system and not in fact the earth. So what is the resurrection? For us, we can sort of take it a bit for granted, but certainly for the people, the disciples of Jesus, this was a totally, totally new experience. And even though Jesus had prepared them for it by telling them at least on three occasions in the Gospels that he would suffer and die and then on the third day rise again, it just evaded them. They just did not understand what he was going on about. But even in our own time, although we're very familiar with the concept of resurrection, there are often a great number of mistakes, or a very central mistake, made about it. So first of all, resurrection is not resuscitation. Resuscitation is what happened to Lazarus. He had died, been buried for 4 days, and now he was raised again to the same life that we are in now. This is not resurrected life. Resurrected life, on the other hand, is when the glory that is in the soul, that's in friendship with God, that's in the state of grace, is now overflows to the body. So the body is now glorified, which means it has some amazing properties. And for the next 50 days, the church will unpack this for us. For the first several weeks or Sundays, and even the weekday Gospels, we will hear lots of apparition stories, because the church is very keen to present for us, as disciples of Jesus, an experience and an encounter with the risen Christ, in much the same way as the apostles and early disciples had of him. So, for example, we see Jesus appearing to the apostles on the first day of the week. And St. John points out on two occasions, not one, that the doors were closed for fear of the Jews, but Jesus came in. In other words, closed doors present no obstacle for the glorified body of the Lord. And yet, it is a solid body. For instance, he invites Thomas. Remember Thomas, he was doubting? So, you know, Thomas puts his hand into the side of Jesus, and he puts his finger into the hole the nails made. We see Jesus eating with the disciples, and we're told in another place in Scripture that he ate and drank with us. So this is the reality of the glorified body. He is both solid, but also amazing properties. And this is what the call of all the faithful disciples of Jesus is to ultimately share in divine life.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful. rejoice and be glad. Let us rejoice and be glad.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
I was talking with some prisoners recently. I asked each of them about their hopes when their time had been served. One man in his early 30s said straight away, "I want to get married and have a family. I want to get away from the old life and make a new start. I want to build a future for my family." His hopes for employment weren't high. He was unskilled and untrained, but he had a vision and he obviously had hope. Another man I spoke to was older. When I asked him about his hopes, he said he had to start all over again, and I detected no joy, no drive in him, because he, in his eyes, had no reason to start again. He'd lost everything, his wife, his family, his home. There was no hope in him. I considered how important hope really is. I thought how terrible it must be to live without hope, and today there are an increasing number of people who feel exactly like that. You'll hear people say, "I haven't got a hope of owning my own home. I haven't got a hope of whatever it is." Perhaps there are some of you listening now who feel just like that. Well, that used to be the case for all of us before Jesus gave us a place in his heart, the same heart that died and rose for us. Before that, we had nowhere to go with our broken dreams and lives. We were doomed to a life of nothingness. We were doomed to the impossible prospect of being our own saviours. And at this time of Easter, we celebrate the truth that not only has Jesus done the impossible by letting death take him and then coming back as alive as he was before, he has ensured that no matter whatever happens to us, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how hopeless, he has already risen above it and there is a way forward for us. It's as simple as giving your life into his hands this very day, as simple as telling him that you need him, that you cannot see your way clear to address the fog that has made your life so hopeless. Do it today and join him in the resurrection that has your name written all over it.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. She spoke all about Easter hope and of her conversations that she has with people on their future hopes. Really interesting to hear how there are many people who express little hope for the future. No hope of secure jobs, of owning homes, of recovering from life setbacks. But she speaks to us so powerfully about the simple, profound hope that is brought to us in the Easter resurrection. Thank you so much to Mother Hilda Scott. Thanks to Father Mark DiBattista, who at the top end of the show there had a piece that was all about us grasping the immensity, the game-changing nature of the resurrection. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Father Chris Sarkis. He's a great man. In fact, he's going to talk to us about something that I reckon he's very, very passionate about. He's passionate about the truth and the beauty of who God is. And today he wants to speak to us about truth, raising that question for us that Pilate asked of Jesus, what is truth? That's after the break. First up, though, is some more music. Shane and Shane, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. Thanks for joining us this weekend, this Sunday, the day of the resurrection, on the journey.
Christ is risen.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, with his Lenten connection, here's Father Chris Sarkis.
Truth? What is truth? These words, asked by Pontius Pilate of Jesus Christ, are some of the saddest words in Scripture, revealing the inner emptiness of all who fail to recognize truth hidden beneath the very rejection of truth, the cross on which hangs truth itself. Today, Good Friday, we gaze silently upon Christ, the truth of God. The cross is the bridge that reunites us with God and over which we cross with Jesus, our sacrificial victim, from sin and death to eternal life with God. From the moment of his birth, the cross was at the center of Jesus' life. It must be at the center of our life too, if we are to be his followers. There is no other way. If you want to be my follower, then take up your cross and come after me, said Jesus. Without the cross, there is no mercy or forgiveness, no hope or faith, no salvation or redemption. Today, so many people run from the cross looking for truth, meaning, and purpose for their lives, only to find themselves on an endless treadmill of worldly pursuits, whose ephemeral pleasures pass as quickly as their fleeting experience. Do not run from the cross. If Christ had to suffer to save us, then we too must share in his suffering, if we are to also share in his life. Truth has been proved by its actions, and Christ still gazes upon the world from Calvary, pouring forth mercy and love from his pierced heart upon all who would receive it. There is no easy way to redemption, as Jesus taught, only the way of the cross. If we run from the cross, we run from Christ. If we embrace the cross, we find Christ and discover truth and ourselves. Draw near to Jesus today and let him lift you up to the cross. By no other means can you be saved. With the sorrowful mother of Jesus, who stood with steadfast love and faith by her son's cross, let us embrace the cross today with the same love and faith, and receive from it mercy, grace, forgiveness, hope, and life. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Thanks so much to Father Chris Sarkis there. Truth, what is truth? And he says pretty clearly, it's the bridge that reunites us with God. Loved how Father Chris said there, if we run from the cross, we run from Christ. If we embrace the cross, we find Christ and we discover truth and ourselves. Thank you so much to Father Chris Sarkis. You also heard Audrey Assad in that mix, Your Peace Will Make Us One, and here's another cracker, Holy is the Lord by Chris Tomlin. After the break, going to hear from a good mate of mine. He's a champion, Darren McDowell. He's studying at the seminary at the moment. He's on his journey to priesthood himself. And he wants to talk to us about in-between time, between Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil, Easter Sunday, if you like, and the time in between that and the events of Good Friday. What's after the break? Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you've joined us on this day of joy, Easter Sunday, on the journey.
Earth.
faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
And now another Lenten connection. Here's Darren McDowell.
Have you ever stood on the edge of something or been in between two realities or two worlds where you can't go back, but going forward is not yet possible? It is like standing on the edge of a swimming pool or sitting in the waiting lounge of an airport or hospital waiting for what is to unfold. On Holy Saturday, we experience this liminal space of in-between time. It is often a space of helplessness, waiting, loneliness, grief, and perhaps even meaninglessness. Have you ever felt moments like these in your life? This is the space we celebrate on Holy Saturday. Jesus, our Christ and King, has died. Our friend, the one who gave us meaning and purpose. All has now been lost, obliterated by the events of Good Friday. We, like the disciples, now sit alone, helpless, lonely and sad in the grief of Holy Saturday. The disciples, and perhaps ourselves, do not know what will happen next, what they're supposed to do or who they're supposed to be now that Jesus has been taken away from them. Easter Sunday, whilst perhaps an idealistic hope for some, remains a very unattainable reality amidst their current pain, sorrow, and lamentation about all that could and perhaps should have been. The invitation here is for patient waiting, a sitting with the darkness of the tomb and death, waiting for that which can only be hoped and longed for in the future. Like the disciples, we who are so used to the active life of problem-solving must come to a place of quiet stillness. The invitation is to spend time learning how to sit with those more difficult feelings of loss, helplessness, loneliness, grief, and meaninglessness. We do this, though, in hope, waiting patiently for the promise of the Lord, "I will rise again on the third day," and "Once I have prepared a place for you, I will come and take you with me, so that where I am, you may be too." We might pray, "Lord Jesus, help me to wait patiently for your promise of resurrection from the pain, loss, and grief that is part of my own life story."
Thanks very much, Mr. Darren McDowell. A little piece that he called In Between Time there. An in-between time of waiting between the tomb of Good Friday and the resurrection of Easter Sunday. And how we all, in one way or another and at different times, experience that waiting on the Lord, waiting in hope in each of our lives. Thank you to Darren. We've got some great stuff for you on this week's show, aren't we lucky? With all the people like Darren McDowell, we've got some more good stuff coming up after the break. A bit of a faith testimony. Stuart Wallace is in a conversation with the Journey editor, Max Norden, about his reasons for deciding as an adult to become a Christian and his journey into embracing that and getting baptized quite recently as a Catholic Christian at the Easter Vigil. That's after the break. First up, a bit of music for you. I think we've got some Bethel music for you in the mix, and Christ is risen from the grave. After the break, we'll be finishing off with a testimony to round out Easter Sunday. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and thanks so much for joining us this week on The Journey.
Prodigal is welcome home, the sinner now is saved. sacrifice. And through tears of joy, I lift my voice in everlasting praise. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Sing again.
Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, fear, where is your power? The mighty King of kings has disarmed you. Delivered and redeemed. Eternal life is ours. Oh, praise his name forever. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. And all throughout eternity, our song will be the same. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave, and all throughout eternity our song will be the same. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
We're now at the pinnacle of our faith, Easter. And it's also a celebration of those adults who made a decision to become a Christian and were baptised at Easter. And today my guest is Stuart Wallace, who's celebrating his first anniversary of his initiation. So welcome to the journey, Stuart.
Thank you very much for having me.
Before you actually went on this faith journey, what were you actually looking for in your life that you decided to actually go out and start a faith journey?
Yeah, look, good question. My life was fairly complete, like with my family and with my career and things like that. However, I didn't really feel complete within myself. I actually started meditating, and that was to help with some work stresses and things like that. And that sort of led me to look at some of the Eastern sort of religions. But I actually found them, like for myself, a little bit empty, which led me to start looking at recorded church services online. I was a bit nervous going into any buildings, but anyway, I ended up liking how the Catholic masses were run, so I decided to start going on Sundays. And from there, I joined the RCIA program, and then from there, I completed my baptism last Easter.
Great. Since then, how do you feel that your life has changed since that initiation last year?
Surprisingly, my life's changed mostly around relationships with other people. Like, I find that I'm a lot more patient and accepting of other people. I also find that other people are a bit more open to me as well. So that's not something I expected would happen. I also found that my home life was a bit smoother, just in the day-to-day sort of stuff. And also I found, like, with work, I'm much more tolerant and capable, especially dealing when things come up. Yeah, so that's been a bit of a surprise, actually, because I didn't expect that. Also, I'm part of like a faith group where we discuss scriptures each week. It's great to get everyone's ideas and pull apart the scriptures. So, yeah, so they're the sort of the big ones, I guess.
We don't want to look at this totally through rose-coloured glasses. So what I want you to tell me now is, what do you think is the biggest challenge that you faced in becoming a Christian?
It's actually a lot of the day-to-day stuff, particularly with dealing with people that don't sort of have the same sort of faith dimensions. Like, my friends and family are, you know, just some of the conversations around sort of their goals and, you know, materialism and me trying to lead, I guess, a bit more of a simpler lifestyle. Like, I find that they're the biggest challenges for me. Family trying to book holidays on religious events doesn't sort of help. So, yeah, so that's really it.
Yeah, so the barbecue on Good Friday
is
the difficult one. Let's now look at what is it you think is the most significant thing that you now do in your spiritual life that you didn't do before. What's been the biggest change for you?
Daily prayer. It's definitely the biggest change for me. I try and pray often during each day, and this helps me it makes my day go smoother. On the days where I don't have these opportunities for prayer, I find things get a bit out of control for myself. So this has been like the biggest sort of change. Also, I love sort of reading and trying to unpack the scriptures and get a better understanding. I'm a bit of a nerd, so like I like the details and, you know, those kind of things. And that leads me to do some, you know, research and go from there. But it's a really good basis for me. And I really enjoy it, actually.
Thanks for being part of the journey, sharing a little bit about your faith journey. And I could say happy anniversary for your first anniversary of being a fully initiated Christian.
Great, thanks. Look, thanks so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Collective, Resurrection Day, that's just the way we want to finish this week's show, all about the resurrection, all about the joy, regardless of whatever else is going on in our world, in our life, that God's won the victory. God's got it in the end. Thanks to Stuart Wallace and to Max Norden, our sound editor and interviewer extraordinaire, who did a bit of an interview and delving into Stuart Wallace's journey of discovery and journey towards embracing Christianity. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. To all of our contributors, thank you so much for helping to open up the great power and the great mystery that is Easter Sunday. And so we enter into a new season. Now, we've come out of the Lenten season. We're now entering into the season of joy, the Easter season. And I really look forward to journeying with you through that wonderful season as we head now towards all the narratives around the resurrection, the journey towards Pentecost and the birth of the church. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. Happy Easter. And thanks for joining us this week on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden from the office of the Bishop in the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.